today on Real Radio.
Now the universe, every human being, technology, numerically, is a walking universe of information. The more study, the more revelation, the more we look, what do we know? That everything is ordered, designed, and created for a very specific purpose. Nothing that you and I observe is an accident.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Grandeur of God, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah was God's mouthpiece during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. But it was his visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah that made Isaiah the most often quoted prophet in the New Testament. In our previous episode, taken from Part 1 of Isaiah chapter 40, we saw how the grandeur of God can be seen in his creation, in the salvation of his gospel, in his faithfulness of having everything under control, and in the full revelation of his return to earth. The day is coming when the promises given by God to Israel will come to pass, and we can count on the promises he's given us to be fulfilled. So today on day one of Isaiah chapter 40, Pastor Jack continues in this chapter by telling us how the grandeur of God is also seen in the way he strengthens those who are afraid. He will one day rule from Jerusalem with a strong hand, but will gently lead those who are young and gather in his arms those who are weak. And now in his lesson called The Grandeur of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that tonight you just continue to do that. Father, that you'd send out your light through the word that is presented. And Lord, give us understanding and skill to not only learn, but to do. Most importantly, to do. To do what we know. To do what your word instructs of us. And Father, we just ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll grab your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah 40. Chapter 40, we almost finished last time. We didn't. So we're in chapter 40. And a little bit of a review, and then we'll finish off going across the famous, wonderful, one of the most popular verses of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, is where we'll end this chapter tonight. We're looking at what is entitled The Grandeur of God. Isaiah chapter 40, as you know from last week, changes the entire tempo and theme of the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is looking at the remarkable manifestations, teachings, and revelations of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial age. And dotted all along the way are amazing instructions, beginning in chapter 40 all the way out to the close of chapter 66. And so if you have your Bibles, and if we'll recap together, if you would, for just a bit, look at verses 1 through 5, where we learned regarding the grandeur of God is the fact that God's grandeur is seen, church, by his faithfulness. The Bible tells us over and over again, God is faithful. Listen, the Bible goes so far to tell us that even when we're not faithful, he is what? Faithful still. God is faithful. All that he has promised you, all that he has said, listen up, he will fulfill, and we have a test case to prove that. You need to listen carefully, especially if you are, 35 years of age and younger, predominantly on your college campus or in a lot of younger churches today. They're missing this completely. But here's the deal. God is faithful to keep his promises, and the Gentile church can say amen to that, okay? Well, how do we know? How can we be so sure that God will keep his promises? It's easy, because the God who keeps his promises to the church is the same God that keeps his promises to Israel. And today, a lot of people are saying that God has broken off his promises to Israel because he's written them off. He's cut them off, that he's done with Israel. And that is none other than what is called replacement theology. It's very popular. It's growing big time because it is a sloppy confusion and conclusion to very, very poor Bible study habits. God has given us the full revelation of his word from Genesis to Revelation. And when God says to Israel, my covenant with you is an everlasting covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't change that word. If you change that word, that God's covenant with Israel is everlasting, if you change it, then you have no guarantee or hope that you'll see heaven yourself. Because God would be now inconsistent. But thank God he's not. He will keep his promises. He's faithful. And in verse 1, he says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. And we learned last week that that very word means that it is the external populace that is to comfort his people. Yes, Isaiah would speak to the people of Israel, but God is speaking beyond that. It's prophetic. The church is to be a blessing to Israel. The Gentile nations of the world are to be a blessing to Israel. They're not, but they are to be, but they should be. But the day is coming in the millennial reign when Christ returns, when that fulfillment will be completely realized. And it says in verse 2, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. And we looked at that in detail last time. The second thing that we saw was in verses 6 through 7, and that is the grandeur of God can be realized in him alone. That God alone is absolutely awesome in all of his dealings. And in verse 6, he says, the voice said, cry out. And he said that as Isaiah, what shall I cry? And this is what God would have Isaiah cry. And this is awesome. Listen carefully. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. What does that mean? Perfect picture for us today. My goodness, the flowers are in bloom on the hills. Everything's green and lovely. But we had, what do we have today? 82 degree day. Summer came today. And soon those hills will be browning, won't they? The poppies will be fading. The lupins will be fading. And the grass will be turning brown. That's coming. Why? Because the sun in its intensity is going to do that. And God says, man and his kingdoms at best are like the fading grass. Think of that for a moment. Now, for the believer, that's comforting because our God, listen, our God is the Lord. He is forever. And if you, listen, I put this in a modern day language. If you hook your star to him, so to speak, you'll do well. You'll follow him right into eternity. If you put your trust and your faith in Christ, he's faithful, and you won't have to worry about the temporalness of this world. That's good news, my friend, if you have become more aware of your mortality. Maybe you celebrated a birthday this week and you're 1 year older. Look, I guess that's great if you just turned 21 or 16 or something. God bless you. But for the rest of us, it's like, okay, well, closer to heaven now than the years that I would statistically have going ahead. No, the scale is tipped and I'm closer to heaven now. That's good news if you're a believer. The grandeur of God is realized in him alone. The things of this world fade away, but the grandeur of God abides. In verses 9 through 11, thirdly, we saw that it's his witness, the fact that he is witnessed at his invitation. The grandeur of God, the word says, O Zion, verse 9, you who bring good tidings. This is a prophetic word. Get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. The Lord, the God of the Bible, wants you to know him. And we saw that. Now, this is where we left off. And we pick it up now in verses 12 to 17, that the grandeur of God can be seen in what he has shown us. God reveals himself to us. Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands? He measured heaven with the span. And he calculated the dust of the earth in a measure or in scales. He weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. We left off here. I believe that as we get further along into the last days, every calendar passing, that God is revealing himself in these days more and more, my friends. I really believe this. I'm not just saying this because it's a Bible study. I think I have firm evidence on this fact that the further along we get on the path of human history, the more, listen, not less, the more God reveals himself. And I'm a real fan of that for this reason. I think that it's great and it's awesome that God did miracles, for example, with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. You read about all about them in the great Exodus. You pick up your Bible and you read all of these fantastic things. And praise the Lord, right? That's great. Then you read what I would say are localized interventions of God, localized type of miracles where God wrought this battle against the Canaanites, or when Israel was fighting the Philistines here or there, God did a great thing. And amen, hallelujah. And I mean this respectfully, but I view those as, in those days and age, as localized miracles, not to take anything away from God's intervention, but they were specifically to a particular people at a certain moment of time. But you and I live in an age where I believe that God is showing us and the unbelieving world, I would say, miraculous things of knowledge and revelation unlike any other time in human history. You might say, well, Jack, that's a huge thing to say. Oh, I'm quite aware of that, but let me back it up. I believe that today you can pick up, for example, a electron microscope, something that previously generations never had. And you could look now today into a universe that is down to the cell life of things. You can look at atoms and the molecular structure of things. You can look at the DNA that's in you. There's enough information in your DNA that's more information than the entire known universe. You. How do we know this? Technology. Now the universe, every human being, technology numerically is a walking universe of information. Stuff that we never knew before. What does that mean? So see, who cares, Jack? What's the big deal? You should care because the data that's in there screams. The more study, the more revelation, the more we look, what do we know? That everything is ordered, designed, and created for a very specific purpose. Nothing that you and I observe is an accident. Did you know that? Try all you want. Evolutionist wants us to believe that everything's an accident. Honestly, first of all, it's getting really hard to find evolutionists anymore because the data is just overwhelming. Everything screams design. The more technology, the greater information shows that everything has been designed. Everything's got a purpose. And the stuff that we thought was evolution way back when, turns out that the very information of that duck or that bird or that worm or that bird, all that information about seasonal variations within the species is all based upon the code that is already written in it, and it's always been there. For example, did you know that your birds outside your house, now because of this winter, the rain, did you know that the birds this year, they have larger beaks? Now, I'm like, you're going to run out there and measure your sparrow's beaks, but did you know their beaks will be slightly larger and stronger? You want to know why? Because we've had a lot of rain. Why? What should that matter? Because there's going to be more seed growing. Did you know that scientists found that out to be true? On and on it goes. It's not evolution. It's variation within the species. How does that happen? It's written in the code. It's always been there. We didn't know that before. It's absolutely awesome. We look at the universe that is out there to study. And it screams the laws of science. My friends, you cannot violate God's laws of science. The God of the Bible upholds the laws of science. He loves them. He made them. You study them. And you stand in awe. If you're a doctor, a nurse, a biologist, a chemist, an engineer, you should appreciate God more than most. He has shown himself to us. The Bible says that he has done all of these great creative powers. The waters in the hollow of his hand. He's measured out the heavens with a span. We talked about that last time. He's calculated the dust of the earth like it's nothing. He's awesome. Think about that for a minute. The God that you and I so often forget about. Now I'm confessing for you. I'm going to do it for you. We're all in this together. You say, how dare you? Oh, put a sock in it. Listen, we're all in this together. Here's the truth of the matter. The moment you and I begin to fret or worry or panic or be in haste about something, we forget that it's this God that is ordering all that has been created, all that is out there. And you and I, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to fix that, or I'm going to get involved in this. You know what? By his grace, maybe. He's controlling. You often hear me say, because I love it, Ben Franklin said, God governs. He believed that God governs in the affairs of men. I believe that's true. I believe my Bible makes that clear. He has shown himself to us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3. I love this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens. Go out tonight and look up. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Go find a dark place and look up. Take a field trip to Joshua Tree National Park. Go on out there. You don't have to go that far, but it's a pretty amazing place. Go down to the beach. It's dark along the shore. Look up. The heavens and the firmament, they reveal his glory and his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Wow. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. According to God, his creation is speaking to the human mind. Again, call me simplistic or just flat out weird, but I believe that God designed all that there is to intercourse with the human mind, that when our minds look at the observable things that God has shown us, the normal conclusion should be, there is a God and he's awesome and I need to know him. And if you think I'm making that up, you ought to read some of the radical conversions that have happened to natives down in the Amazon jungle area, people who had never heard the gospel. One of the guys spoke years ago when I was a fairly new believer at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Pastor Chuck had there was a Baptist missionary who brought out, it was almost, I couldn't believe it. This missionary brought out this little tiny, teeny weeny man. And he came and he stood on a box. And the man was dressed like us, but he was from the jungles of Brazil and the Amazon. And according to his story, and the missionary was able to speak his language, but no gospel, no nothing, and they worship the rainforest canopy, the trees. The trees were God. Why? Because the water that they drank came from the trees. It didn't really, but the rain came. They didn't figure that out, and it comes filtered through the trees. So the water must come from the trees. And then they would blow the poison darts into the trees and the monkeys would fall from the trees and that's how they would feed their family. So food came from the trees. Their conclusion was, the trees are God. They had never heard anything about God. And this little guy began thinking, there's gotta be something beyond. There's something on the other side of the trees. There's something over the trees. It's blue. And then there's clouds that go by. And then there's moonlight. And he said this, and he began thinking. He says, what's on the other side of the trees? And you know what he did? He packed up and he ran away from home. He ran away from his tribe, searching for God. Days into his search, running, seeking God. He didn't know what he was looking for. But something, someone beyond the tree, the canopies, guess what happened? The missionaries didn't find him. The missionaries were cutting bush, and the native ran right into him. They had been trained to go and speak the word to those supposed villages that they were searching for. God put it upon his heart and he was searching. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's what God says. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 begins. Romans 1, 18 begins with this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Why? Because it's not right. It's wrong. It's goofy. How do we know? Men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. The picture is like a kettle that's boiling with a lid. And unrighteous people hold down the lid so that you don't know about God. Think of that. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That's what that little native in the Amazon jungle was thinking about. God was revealing himself so that they are without excuse. Why? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. Wow, that should be on some of our universities across America today. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Wow, you deny the existence of God, you're going against science. The author of the Bible, the author of creation, is the author of science. And inside the human heart, there's a crying, there's a small, we would say what, effervescent. There's a little bit of light left over from Adam and Eve. That part of you cries out. Even those of you who are completely atheistic in your thinking, listen, I got news for you. We know something about you that you don't think we know about you. And that is this, down deep inside, you're terrified, you're fearful over the possibility of God existing. You hope every night when you lay down that he does not exist. My friend, that's a tough way to live. You ought to give up. You ought to take a deep breath and relax and just wind up bringing your sin and your guilt and shame to him and surrendering to Christ, the Creator, and saying, Lord, I give up. I quit running. You might have to cut down jungle and run as fast as you can, but maybe you'll bump into Christ. If you're searching, he'll meet you. If you're looking, he'll make sure you bump into him. He'll get you. But are you looking? Then there are those who will just shut up the doors of their mind. And God says, your foolish heart, if you're not careful, will become darkened. Wow, what a tremendous thing. He's the Creator. Again, every chance I get, I exploit this verse. I abuse it, no doubt. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Sounds like Isaiah. Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know, now watch this. So connect Colossians 1, verse 13 to that. He, that is the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The word firstborn is the first one from the dead, the first preeminent. He's the custodian, the preeminent one over creation. Because by him, all things, are you reading this? Were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Electron microscopes. Deep stellar space. Hubble telescopes. Verse 16 goes on, all things were created through him and what? For him. This is Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Grandeur of God, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. We're really glad you're here. And you know, God in all of his grandeur can still be depended upon in your daily life. So don't lose hope. He knows and he sees all. The Grandeur of God, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, real life can be challenging. We all know that. And in order to grow and mature in our relationship with Christ, we need to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a video series called Real Life Basics, where he takes us through basic yet vitally important questions that relate to our Christian walk. Questions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And topics that guide us through the importance of church, the Bible, money, our freedoms, confession, and so much more. So if you want answers to some of the basics of Christianity, head on over to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on the Home tab or the Watch tab. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.